Late Nights with Trav and Lowe's.
Hey everyone, it's Travis here. We have a few really great episodes lined up. We had an awesome opportunity to share the recording of this episode with a live audience along with our guest, the talented designer Jamie Leach. AIGA San Francisco hosted the meetup and we had a great time, met some fantastic people. So this is a two-part recording. Next week we'll hear the second part. The title of this two-part series is Designing Your Authentic Self. And this first episode covers the idea of self-awareness, what it is, why we need it, and how to discover an appreciation for everyone's little brand of crazy. It's a good conversation. I hope you like it. Next week we talk about using that awareness to find an authentic voice in your craft. Okay, so here is the live recording.
All right, we're going to get started.
And we're already recording. This is exciting.
Yeah, we're recording. So welcome to another Late Nights with Trav and Lowe's.
I'm Trav.
And then I am Lowe's. And in today's episode, we have our guest from Google, Jamie Leach.
Hello.
And then we are at AIGA in San Francisco, and we have an audience today, which is new for us.
So this is the first time we've done a live podcast.
Yeah.
So you guys, you know, at home, like mowing your lawns or putting, you know, the dishes away, suck it. That was rude. I'm nervous. Okay.
Yeah. So the way that this is going to go is Travis is going to be hosting with Jamie Leach. And then usually the other person who's not hosting is the audience. And so we would act for you guys as an audience, and we would kind of react, etc. But you're here today,
so we have a real audience.
So we have a real
Lowe's, the fake audience.
That's right. So feel free to interrupt us by raising your hand, and we'll finish out our thought, and then you can comment on whatever it is that we're talking about and say, "Oh, expand on that,"
yeah,
or "I don't agree," or "I see things differently."
So we have a floating microphone, and right in the middle of the podcast, you guys can be a part of it. It's really exciting. We're trying something new today.
Do we have a floating microphone?
I thought we did.
Nah, we don't have a floating microphone.
You made that up. Stop lying.
Why did I make that up? We also have sushi in the back, also made up.
Yep. And dollar bills. All right, so we're going to...
Check under your seats. You get a car, and you get a car. Also made up car.
All right, so Jamie, we're going to intro Jamie a little bit before we get going. And Jamie is a product designer at Google, and she's been in advertising, mobile design, creative direction, product development. And at Google, she's on the search UX team, and she also worked at a marketing incubator called Art Consultancy called Ladies and Gentlemen. Right?
Those are two things, but yeah. Our copy code and Ladies and Gentlemen.
Sure. Yep. I made them one.
Yeah. I like that amalgamation.
Yeah. And then we also want to say thank you to AIGA for hosting us, Jamie for coming onto the podcast, and a little bit about Travis. He has 11 fingers. I don't know if you were shaking his hand, but
that's
don't.
Why I'll keep one hand below the table.
No, we're joking. All right. And then I have a favorite chapstick flavor. Do you know what it is?
I guess cherry.
Yeah, I'm allergic to cherry.
No chicka cherry.
Ooh,
no,
is
no
it coconut?
It is coconut.
Have the Burt's Bees one?
Of course.
It's so good, right? It's like vacation on a chapstick.
Coconut is the new quinoa, so I'm not surprised.
And then in today's episode, we're going to, well, at least the title is called Designing Your Authentic Self.
Mm-hmm.
And then our subtitle is The Value of Self-Awareness and Having an Authentic Voice in Your Craft. So many of you may be designers and every other aspect of that field. And then we're recording two episodes tonight, and the first one will be about the value of self-awareness, and then the second will focus on having an authentic voice in your craft, and in between we'll have an AMA and Ask Me Anything, and it could be related to the episodes that we're talking about, could be related to the industry, anything that's in your mind, you know, Travis's underwear, what color it is, like it's all good.
I'll tell you right now, we don't have to wait. It's orange.
It's orange. All right, Travis, so take it away.
So tonight we want to talk about self-awareness and how that is such a big part of what we do as creators and designers. So I guess I wanted to start just by having talk about what it is, what self-awareness is objectively, some definitions. Or have you put your mind on that question?
The definition of self-awareness.
Yeah. How do you, when somebody says, hey, you know, you need more self-awareness, like, what do you think they're talking about?
I mean, I don't think anyone would say you need more self-awareness. Well, not to me.
Not to you. Happens to me a lot.
Travis.
No.
You need more self-aware, man.
Awareness. Got it.
No, I mean, I think it's, you know, knowing yourself and knowing your environment, understanding how, like, you are being, like, for lack of a better word, like, consumed by others. You sort of think that, like, this is myself, but you have to be able to understand that and abstract it and understand, like, people outside of yourself to see that sort of delta.
Right.
If you will.
I like how you said consumed by others.
Yeah, sorry, that wasn't, I think.
It was actually my favorite part. To me, that says, like, you know, everybody has this lens through which they see the world, and they're observing you. How are they taking what you project inside, right? And what are they doing with it? And we meet a lot of different peoples in our journey. Some are friends, some are business partners, some are people that you need to impress, or some people that you just need to hang out with. And What are you teaching them? What are you telling them about who you are and what you stand for, what your values are? And understanding that. So I have a definition here, and it goes perfectly in line with what you're saying. It says having a clear perception of your personality, including your strengths, weaknesses, thoughts, beliefs, motivations, and emotions. Self-awareness allows you to understand other people and how they perceive you and your attitude and your responses to them in the moment. Now, I also like to think about self-awareness as understanding who you are in your community and what your options are in terms of impacting others' lives and where you belong in the world, what kind of person you are, what kind of life you've ended up with, where you're born into, or what kind of you've strived to create for yourself. Understanding all these things is an important thing. Why? Why is it so important that we understand who we are and how people perceive us?
Well, if we understand how you are, you're able to impact those that you are around and do it eloquently. Because there are times when, I'll say, I didn't know myself that well early in my career. And with my friends and peers, I couldn't have a positive impact. In fact, because I didn't know myself that well, there was a lot of friction. And friction wasn't good. It wasn't good for me. It gets in the way. And so the better you understand yourself, the more informed you can be on how you can be a positive impact or how to, what you said, was how to respond to external stimuli in the moment.
So you're saying not knowing yourself caused friction in your relationships with others?
Well, yeah, because not knowing myself, I would react instead of responding to things that would happen or things in my environment. And a lot of that friction was in interpersonal relationships. And as a designer, there's a lot of times that you sell your work. You're often selling your ideas. And I wasn't good at understanding what motivates me to sell an idea enough to not feel that friction if someone was saying, hey, this isn't good enough,
right,
et cetera.
We had Jared Arondo on the podcast a little while ago. And one of the things that always stuck with me, what he said about the work that we do, he said, as designers, we sit closer to the client, to the user, than anyone. It's our job to understand them and to be able to be an advocate in our organization for the user. And that really impressed me. And how I'm relating it back to this is that before we can understand others, we need to understand ourselves. In fact, understanding who you are, what your motivations are, and how you relate to the world gives you that empathy that you need to understand how other people do the same. That was a statement.
Yes. I'm nodding yes.
She's nodding on a podcast.
I'm nodding on a podcast.
Hope you can see that.
Jamie, how has building your own sense of empathy helped you to build better products for other people?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. I think it's sort of impossible to design anything unless you have at least a modicum of empathy for your end user. You know, I think if you can't understand sort of like the context they're coming to your experience with, or you know, the context of their day-to-day lives, it's kind of impossible to say like this is what they'll need. And you know, I think at least on the stuff that we work on, like we're trying to remove friction and remove the cognitive load from like basic interactions from users so they can sort of get onto the information that they're really coming to us for. And if you can't understand sort of like the context like of their day-to-day lives, it's sort of hard to say, oh, let me remove this friction for you, or let me enable you to do this.
And what strategies do you have to gain more empathy for your end user?
What strategies?
Yeah.
Oh.
What tools are available to you, or what do you do?
On the spot.
I mean,
the whole podcast. I mean, jump into the pool.
No, I mean, I think it's just sort of like anything. Like I've in general, like personally, I'm just like a very curious person. So if somebody does something that I've never seen before, mm-hmm. or like, you know, if I am meeting somebody who has a very different like walk of life than I do, I just want to like dig in and ask them all these questions. Like, oh, well, like, why did you do it this way? Like, you know, why do you read something like that? You know, what is it for you that makes it different than my own understanding?
So these are the people that you're accosting. why did you do that? The people that you're examining are not necessarily the people that directly use your product. These are just people that you find in the wild, or what am I understanding here?
Well, I work on Google search, we definitely optimize for like every human being on Earth,
world.
Is like, I know, sorry, that's such a like hard answer. But like in a work context, yeah, I think it's like more pragmatically speaking, like you bring those people in. There's a variety of ways that you can do that through, you know, like user testing, like cafe study is trying to get people to like interact with your product in front of you. We also have like an incredible research team that just sort of says like, here are trends like in the world, and mm-hmm. here's how we're like splicing different user types or different demographics.
Yeah.
Because like, there's no way that I can understand what like someone trying to like find their doctor in India is like really going through on a day to day.
Right.
But trying to understand that, I think, really like helps you put in context what it means when they open up their phone.
Yeah. Like when we talk about empathy, sometimes we talk about like you have to have the exact emotions of your users and stuff. But like what you're talking about is a super practical thing. Like if you didn't put yourself like ask the question, like why are you having this problem, you would never find out that this like technical snag got in the way of you achieving your goal. You know, a search for having empathy for your user or your customer can lead you to fix a problem and sometimes to create a whole entire new solution. When I think about this kind of concept, I think about actually why we're sitting here now, because a long time ago I started a YouTube channel, and that was a result because I worked at a startup that dealt with people who create videos, and as a designer for a tool for these people, I needed to understand how they work and what hangups do they have, and what is the journey like when they're creating a video and uploading it and tagging it and hoping people find it. What is that like? So I started creating videos, and later on, with Lois, we created this podcast as an outgrowth of those efforts and falling in love with publishing. So in a lot of ways, like this whole this gathering that we have here and getting to meet everyone here and gain more empathy for everybody,
right.
It's like a spiral of of empathy and opportunity, and it's an outgrowth of seeing a need, needing to understand it, and making that effort to get under it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I talked to Jamie earlier, we were sitting on the balcony and saying like, what is self awareness? What is self awareness, and what is that all about for you? You mentioned. How it's you said understand yourself personally and objectively. Can you tell me about the objective part and like because I think we've dived into the personal part. What does it mean to understand yourself objectively?
Objectively, yeah. I mean, objectively, like I think that certain things within myself are a positive attribute or a positive trait. Mm-hmm. You know, I would consider myself like a confident person, but objectively, depending on the context, that can come off as arrogance or vanity. Uh-huh. And I think understanding sort of your like the space that you're in and the people that you're around can help you, you know, think about how the traits that you understand within yourself are coming across to other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of about like, you know, who are you with and like, what is their life view and like potentially like how is that different from how you see yourself? I try to be like really cognizant of some of those things where it could be more of like a pain point or like a point of misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just like a, you know, 'cause not everyone's going to like meet you and be like, ugh, I know exactly who you are, you know?
I completely understand you.
Yeah, like, to a T, you know? Like, right. It's just, it's not reality.
Right, especially when it's so hard to understand ourselves.
Yeah.
How can we possibly expect others to, like, get that, you know?
Yeah, like, I'm a very complex person, so, like, you can't just get me in a second.
So how do you get that objective understanding of yourself? You know, let me just interrupt you and kind of answer that question. Not answer the question fully on its own, but... so we both work at Google, and they have this thing, I don't know if you've noticed it, in the bathroom they have something called learning on the loo.
Yeah.
So
I love learning on the loo.
It's such great entertainment. Yeah. They tape these like papers to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I'm standing at the urinal, like, yeah. Huh, learning on the loo.
Yeah.
And they had this one about busting bias.
Yeah, bias busting. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was so interested in that. And they were talking about a lot of the headlines that were in the news regarding the Olympics and how some people were being kind of just like grouped into bigger categories, and some people were like being getting bigger headlines just because of, you know, their sex or their previous accomplishments.
Or their bright silver hair.
Or their
Ryan Lochte? No?
I don't, sorry.
Not. He dyed his hair silver. He was a swimmer.
Oh,
so you could
thanks for filling him in.
Navigate the waters better with silver hair.
Welcome.
So we have these biases that are like built into our, into like the way that we understand the world. Les, have you had any opportunity to like observe a bias within yourself and take action to bust it down?
Observe a bias within myself?
Yeah.
I don't have one off the top of my mind.
He's completely bias-free.
I am bias-free. No, here's a recent one. So this weekend I was, and yes, I've had an opportunity to find a bias and then break it down within myself, at least practice that, right? So this weekend I went to one of my best friends, little brother is going away for some time, he's traveling, right? And I met with some friends that just recently got back from China. And so they were telling me stories of what the culture is like in China. And the guy said, he's like, one of the stereotypes that we see here is that most Chinese people will butt in front of you and will drive without understanding of the roads, et cetera. And he's like, but you understand why it is because in China, a few years back, they had to go and really fight for their food or for the things that they wanted, right? And so, and culturally, he's like, while we were driving there, we didn't understand the language or anything, and people were honking at us, you know? And so he was speaking about that. He was talking about, now that I'm here, back in the U.S., he spent a year there with his spouse, he's like, I understand. I have sympathy for them, right? Because sympathy is having lived through it yourself, and empathy is developing it without having that sympathy, right? Kind of what Jamie said, you know, in India, someone's searching for their doctor, right? You have to develop empathy for that unless you've experienced it yourself.
Unless you've been in India searching for a doctor.
Exactly. Yeah. And so being, you know, after having that conversation, the stereotypes, you know, of Chinese people that a lot of people have, because of what they were talking to me and their experiences, I've been able to just practice and understand them, you know, as humans, as you and I are, right? That a lot of times they're confused because they don't understand the language and they're really trying. And a big accomplishment is to come to the United States, right? Mm-hmm. And so my buddy, his name is Dustin, he was saying, how sad is it that when they come here, a lot of people are rude to them that's a big accomplishment for them to come to the United States, you know? We should reverse that and welcome them and make space for them to make mistakes, et cetera. So that's a moment recently where I've been able to look at some biases.
That changed you.
That changed me,
yeah.
Right? And so... Mm. So there you go.
That's a good one.
All right.
That's a good one. When Jamie and I were discussing this earlier, I like how you phrased it, like trying to discover what is their crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about discovering. How do you discover someone's crazy?
Should we talk about the cab?
Talk about the cab, yeah.
Okay. So one of the things that we talked about sort of like in prep for this, I told like one story and you were like, we're good.
I was like, she's good at telling the cab story.
So I think, well... To give a little background to that story, like in New York, when you tell somebody that you work in tech or that you work for Google or whatever, like they're just sort of like, yeah, that's cool, whatever, you know, because people in New York do sort of like everything, like everything is sort of impressive there. That might have come out wrong, but
unlike here, where everything is like, just
like
so boring.
Because like here, like no one does anything. Like I didn't mean it like that, but yeah, there's definitely like a very different sort of. Approach or acceptance of the tech community in San Francisco than there is in New York. And so I'm always like a little careful when I get into a cab about, you know, what I say or don't say about myself or my job. But I really love getting into Ubers or into cabs because it's like a really unique opportunity to have like a conversation with the type of person that I don't get to interact with every day. And somehow it usually, like more often than not, it sort of comes up that I'm a designer at Google. But this one time I got in this cab and like I I normally just get Ubers, and I was even like trying to order one, but it was like super, super late this day. And there was like a cab like coming down the street, and which is kind of rare in San Francisco. And so I like hail this cab and I like cancel my Uber and I get in the back, and like right off the bat, I know like this is not a guy that I need to like tell that I work in tech, because he just like immediately starts complaining about like Facebook and how everyone's like on their phones all the time. And I was just like, I'm just going to be quiet in the back and just get home. But like he wanted me to pay cash. So like, you know, he like stopped at my ATM and I was like, all right, whatever, guy, like it's okay. But we get into this conversation sort of about technology. And just like, he was talking about how like, you know, Google is selling, like his theory was that, you know, we're selling data to like President Obama and like, you know, no one has like any rights over any of their data. And I was just like, I'm sorry, sir, you're just categorically untrue. Like if we were selling data to President Obama, I'm pretty sure everyone would know. I would know. You would know. Like we would all know. And he like had this whole story about like how the plane, like Air Force One was coming down to Mountain View.
I need to get some data on my airplane.
Yeah. But like, sorry, what was the question?
I wanted to know how you
discover
they're crazy.
Oh yeah,
because we all have our unique brand of
crazy.
We do. So this guy was like really crazy for his conspiracy theories, and like, you know, I think there are definitely like some types of crazy that you can sort of sniff out earlier than others. And his was definitely like the conspiracy theory, like tech is doom sort of guy. But we wound up having like a really great conversation. You know, I was like, legally, you know, like I feel like what your conspiracy is just like so unfounded. And he was like, well, you're drinking the Kool-Aid, which admittedly, like I'm still drunk on, but like I just don't see how it was possible. And I was like, you know, like we have checks and balances, like la la la. And at the end of the day, like I got out of the cab and he was like, well, you know, you seem all right, but like I hope you think you think about what I said. And I'm like, you know what, you seem all right, but I hope you think about what I said. And he like, and he paused for a second and he was like, yeah, okay. And so like maybe I made like a little bit of headroom, but like
and two biases were busted that
day. He busted
my
bias.
And we can all live happily. That's awesome. So how does understanding other people's crazy impact the work that you do?
Oh.
And like externally, like with your creations, and also the work that you do inside?
I would say definitely more internally.
Mm-hmm.
Because understanding like what somebody's crazy is helps you manage the way that you portray your crazy.
I love it.
Yeah. Like, you know, if you've got like five different crazies that you're faced with, like there's a different way that I can splice my crazy to each like subtype of crazy. Sorry if this is getting too meta.
What I really like about talking like this is it completely acknowledges that I'm crazy too.
Yeah.
And that's true. But I'm like, it enables us to like be okay with that. Mm-hmm. And once we're okay with ourselves and like the baggage that we all bring to the table, we can start to understand and appreciate everybody else's little brand of crazy.
Yeah, it's true. Like, you know, some of the people that I work with, my product partners, like I have the tendency to just like boil the ocean. I'm like, oh, we're gonna like change the look of this button. We're like, what about this button, this button, this button? And like, this thing is kind of a button. Why don't we touch that too? And like, they just call this code orange and they're just like, Jamie, like, stop. You don't have to do everything. And so we like have these like little ways of like managing each other's crazy.
Yeah.
And once you're like intimate with the people that you work with, it can be like a really beautiful thing, I think.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing. I think we're going to end the podcast there. How do we end podcasts, Los?
Oh, this is how we end them.
Okay. I forget sometimes.
That was a Late Nights with Trav and Los. And you can find us on Twitter with our Twitter handle at Trav and Los. We also have a website, travandlos.com. And we have an email, travandlos@gmail.com.
Travandlos.
Yeah, and sometimes people send us audio snippets with questions, and you can be part of the show.
Did you tell them about the Instagram?
Oh, yeah. Guess what the SEO handle is on?
It's like Los and Trav.
At Travandlos.
Oh, yeah.
So Google at Travandlos, and you can find us. And thank you for listening to this episode.
Officially.